Yo, welcome back everybody to the Crossing Routes Podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, joined as always by my good friend and co-host Tyler O, and today we are going to put a bow on our Dynasty Landscape conversation with some talk about the tight end position. We've got a lot of big names, a lot of new young superstars emerging in the sport, and tons to talk about toward the top of the Dynasty Landscape at the tight end position. It's so much to cover, in fact, that we are actually just going to jump straight into the conversation. And Tyler, I am really curious to hear from you. I think most people, when they're putting together their tight end rankings for dynasty purposes, it's a first tier that has two names. It's either Brock Bowers at number one, or it's Trey McBride at number one. I'm assuming most people just have those two guys as that combination. When it comes to your personal rankings and how you are viewing each of them, are you a Trey McBride guy at tight end one, or are you a Brock Bowers guy at tight end one, and why?
So I want to be perfectly clear about this, as I think you could go either way, and I'm not going to lambast you, right? I think you could flip-flop them. If you're against what I'm saying here, Herms, you can make your whole argument, and I can be like, yeah, you're probably right. I certainly don't have a problem with that. I expect them to continue to be ranked right next to each other. I expect them to be drafted probably right next to each other as they are up there together. But after some reflection, I have decided to keep Brock Bowers ahead of McBride. I had it that way going into the season. I totally get the kind of, they call it like, you know, it's the halo effect, where it's like, you know, what have you done for me lately, in a sense, where McBride just ended the season absolutely crushing it. And then Bowers, you know, still had some good games, but you know, things were not good there with the offensive line, and things were not good there with Geno Smith. But I think when you just look at the players and you look at who they are and what they're able to add to a team, I just do think that Brock Bowers is just a little bit better. He's a little bit better of a home run kind of guy that's going to be able to make the big runs, the yards after the catch. Not saying that McBride can't do that. I mean, he obviously can do that, but I just look at what I've seen on the tape over the years, and Brock Bowers is a little bit more of that kind of, like, has a wide receiver in him in terms of what he's able to do with the ball in his hand and after the catch. So yeah, McBride is absolutely soaking up the targets. Totally understand, because he's the best pass catcher on his team, but naturally, in terms of gifted, naturally in terms of talent, I have to give the nod to Brock Bowers. Yes, the things were better for McBride in 2025, but in dynasty, you got to bet on the talent, not on the situation. And while McBride is an incredible talent, I just got to give the nod to Bowers, just on based of what I've seen, what I've scouted, the film that I've watched. The dude is just on a different planet, man.
He really is, and that's why I have it the same way. I have Brock Bowers as my tight end one, Trey McBride definitely number two, but you know, for kind of a lot of the same reasons. I mean, I'm not going to revisit the entire rant that I made in our last episode talking about the wide receivers, but a lot of what puts McBride behind for me is a lot of what I said about Michael Wilson. It was kind of a perfect storm of a lot of injuries happening. The Cardinals had to throw a ball. Had to throw the ball a ton. Who knows if that's what it's going to look like next year, new coaching staff and whatnot. Bowers also kind of has some weird things going against him as well in terms of ambiguity. Like you were saying, not entirely sure what's going to go on with that quarterback situation. I mean, we assume they're going to take Fernando Mendoza, the quarterback from Indiana, with the first overall pick. But, you know, things still have to unfold before we can really, you know, get into the details of that stuff. But the thing I do think is most exciting is the fact that the Raiders hired Clint Kubiak to be the head coach and come in and design this offense. Presumably just around Brock Bowers being the sort of JSN figure in whatever they end up going with. Because to your point, Brock Bowers is a lot more of just the quote unquote receiver type anyway. So putting him as the lead fixed piece of a Clint Kubiak offense. And if we just agree that he is really good at what he does, we watched how good Seattle was in that offense last season, then I don't see why it wouldn't work here with the Raiders, even if it is going to be with a young quarterback or what have you. So, I mean, does that kind of factor in at all as well, like some of these coaching changes and stuff? Because, I mean, it is a little bit tricky, especially with Arizona, but I digress.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the coaching changes, it's as simple to me as, like, well, at least from the Raiders' perspective, could it get worse?
I don't think it could, man.
It's important to look at that. Like, it's just like, yeah, we feel better that there's competent head coach out there that is going to be leading the Raiders offense. Like, that feels pretty good. So yeah, that definitely plays a role. But I think in my mind, Herms, there was always going to be a more competent coach coaching the Raiders this year than there was last year. And that was just what I was chalking it up to. So yeah, like we've talked about this in the past, Herms, where I think it's important to kind of look at former coaches and understand what they've done, and have they leaned, you know, does this offensive coordinator or this coach like utilize the tight ends, yada, yada, yada. And I think there's some value to that. But I also think a good coach or a good offensive coordinator tailors their system to the talent that they have. And I think any coach that comes in and looks at, you know, these, you know, tight ends in this situation, you know, you're going to think like, hey, these guys are pretty damn good. We got to get these guys the ball. And I'm just going to make that assumption and ride with it.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. You know, if you have a truly transcendent player, it would definitely behoove you to use them. That is why it's so exciting to be talking about this position here today, because there are some other very exciting young tight ends around the NFL. And that leads us into our conversation about some of these guys who were rookies last season. I think if you watched any football toward the end of the season, and especially into the playoffs, we saw just how good Colston Loveland was for the Chicago Bears. He had a 4-game stretch there where he went absolutely nuts. I have some stats pulled for that if we want to get into that a little bit. But then there's also players like Tyler Warren going to the Colts. Obviously, for fantasy purposes, it kind of faded toward the end of last year, but that will happen when your quarterback breaks his knee and ends up, you know, not finishing out the season healthy. And then Harold Fannin Jr., also a pretty exciting guy, but we have plenty of time to get into him as well. Just wanted to kind of lay those names out there and let you start with any one of them that, you know, is most appealing to you between Loveland, Warren, and Fannin.
Yeah, so for me, you know, Bowers, McBride are 1-2, and then I have Colston, Loveland 3, and Tyler Warren 4, okay? Now, I went into the draft, into the season last season, right? So I went into the 2025 season having Loveland ahead of Warren, right? Obviously, 1-2, 1A, 1B, let's call it. But when you're a ranker and you rank, you got to pick one of them. Just like it's Bowers and McBride, you got to pick one of them. I, going into the season, had Loveland over Warren. Now, this certainly looked like a massive L for most of the season. In fact, I had taken Loveland over Warren in two rookie drafts. And I was feeling kind of bad about it for the first two-thirds of the season. It was looking pretty ugly on my part. Like, here's Warren, who's commanding targets, not a surprise. And then there's Loveland, who's just splitting time with Komet. Now, as the season ends, Loveland decided to break out. Now, I think when you look at a rookie tight end, it is one of those positions, in my opinion, where you can give the player some grace if it takes them a little bit of time to break out. It is arguably one of the toughest, at least fantasy positions. You have to be a blocker. You have to also be a wide receiver. It has historically been a tough position for players to break out in. You look at some of the best players that you look at, think of the best tight ends that you can think of right now in your head. Most of them didn't have a massive rookie season. So you got to put that on the table too. And he was able to still put together a good end of the season. For me, I have Loveland ahead of Warren for a couple of reasons. One, I think Loveland is just a little bit better. It's actually really funny. I was like going through my notes, and this was pre-2025 draft, and I said overall landing spots, I wanted Tyler Warren to go to the Bears at 10 and Loveland to go to the Colts at 14. I was like looking at the article, and I was like, well, they flip-flopped. But hey, the NFL was with me. They liked Loveland more. I think it really just comes down to, I think Loveland is, you know, a dynamic tight end, creates separation, attacks the seam, can be used all over the field. He's a legit weapon. You know, comfortable catching in traffic. He's got soft hands. He just moves like a big slot receiver. And while I think Tyler Warren moves well and is a great athlete, you watch him move and he moves more like a really good tight end, right?
Yeah.
Loveland moves like a big slot receiver. Like, it is incredible what he's able to do and that target share that he was able to kind of bring in towards the end of the season. So for me, I have Loveland at 3. I feel really good about him there. Again, I have Warren at 4. So you certainly can, you know, in my opinion,
you know, flipping back and forth. I'm not going to fight you on it, but it's almost similar to the Bowers McBride kind of argument that I just made. Is if you just look at the way they play, I think Bowers is a little bit more explosive. I would trust him to have better yards after the catch, a kind of guy that can do home run stuff. I mean, that to me, that's Loveland over Warren, right? Warren's great. He can do stuff all over the field. He's a good tight end. But I definitely think when I look at Loveland, the way he plays, he resembles a little bit more of a wide receiver. And for fantasy, that's something I'm going to value a bit more. Not to mention, in this case, the Bears' offense is a little better. You know, and I think that might play a factor between splitting these two here. Could use that argument for McBride, sure. But for me, I like the way that the Bears are heading. And the Colts, well, I think they still got some quarterback questions.
No, definitely so. And I really like the way you set the table for that. When it comes to my personal rankings and where I have these guys, I also have Colston Loveland ahead of Tyler Warren. But as we have done with the other positions, I have also gone over to Keep Trade Cut to get a vibe as to where the Dynasty community is at with a lot of this stuff. And for this one, it turns out that the public prefers Tyler Warren, as he is sitting as Keep Trade Cut tight end 3 near the equivalent trade value of an early 2026 first, whereas Loveland is at tight end 4 in the same vicinity as a mid 2027 first. I kind of get it, but I don't know. I'm with you for all of the reasons that you said, particularly the part about do we know when Daniel Jones is going to be healthy enough to play? Who is going to be the Colts quarterback? At least we feel pretty good about what's going on with the Chicago Bears. We like what we saw from that offense toward the end of the season. But before we kind of get into some of the other deeper names here, looking at this, before we started recording, we talked a little bit about where you had some of these guys. I've been looking at Keep Trade Cut, kind of seeing where the Dynasty community has some of these players ranked, and I noticed that I am, I guess, aggressively high on two players, both veteran tight ends that I actually have ranked ahead of Loveland, Warren, and, you know, Fannin. We'll talk about him in a little bit. I want to get your thoughts on that briefly. At my tight end 3, I actually still have Sam Laporta from the Detroit Lions. Like, I get that it sucks he got hurt, but he looked a lot more like the guy that we saw in his rookie season. What happened in his second year was a little bit wonky, but I covered that way back over the summer in the Fantasy Faceoff series. If you really want to do some digging into that, it makes a ton of sense. But the reason I still have Laporta that high is just because he is like the proof of concept for Colston Loveland. Like, wasn't the reason we were excited about Colston Loveland is because, oh, he's going to be the tight end playing for Ben Johnson. It's like, okay, well, I personally would just kind of prefer to have the original version of that at this point. So that's kind of just me there. But then real quickly at number 4, I have Tucker Kraft. I think had he not gotten hurt in the middle of last year, we would have seen the full unleashing of what looks kind of like the next George Kittle. But I don't know, maybe I am being a little bit, you know, over enthusiastic about each of those players. So there it is, tie right over. Tyler, how do you feel about some of those names, and does any of that make any sense before we get into our first commercial break?
You make a really good point. So I'll be honest. I have Tucker Kraft at 5, right behind Loveland and Warren. So I'm not gonna get in a fight over that one. I think Tucker Kraft is insanely talented. He's clearly the best pass catcher and best weapon on the Packers. I do prefer Loveland and Warren a bit, but it's the same tier. I think Loveland, Warren, and Kraft is the same tier to me. Now, I do have Sam Laporta down at 7 with Fannin over him, and you do make some really good points where I think I want to bump Laporta over Fannin just because it's like we've seen him do it. You know, he was tight end 1 when he was a rookie. I think he finished right around tight end 7 his next year, and then he was hurt, obviously, here in the following year. But, I mean, you're kind of right, man. I have Fannin at 6, and I have Laporta at 7. Maybe it's a little bit of rookie hype because I'm not sure I would take Fannin over Laporta right now with the quarterback question marks on the Browns, so... this is a good example of having a conversation. It kind of made me adjust here. And yeah, I'm moving Laporta back over 6 and moving Fannin down to 7. So good points there, Herms.
Hey, you know, get a load of that. We can't forget about the guys who get hurt. Just because they got injured does not mean that they aren't good at playing football. But again, to reiterate, no disrespect to any of these guys. I am super enthusiastic about Loveland and Warren and Harold Fannin Jr., a player that we are going to talk about on the other side of our commercial break. Please do not go anywhere. This is the Crossing Routes Podcast.
Yo, yo, yo. How's it hanging? C.H. Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes Podcast here to ask you a question. Have you wanted to get in on some NFL action, but don't live in a state that has a sports book? Well, we have great news. Our newest partner, Novig, is America's number one sports prediction market, offering better odds than sports books in over 35 states. If you're looking to tail some of our plays for the NFL playoffs and all sorts of other sports, new players on Novig can get a free month of an FTN GOAT subscription when they sign up and use promo code FTN with their first purchase. Plus, you'll get 50% off your first purchase up to $25 in Novig cash. All you gotta do is download the Novig app, enter code FTN before making your first purchase of $50 or less, and the discount will automatically apply. Also, your promo code for that free month of an FTN GOAT tier will be in your email inbox before you know it. What a deal! We look forward to having you play on Novig with us this year. Be sure to check it out and use that promo code FTN.
And welcome back to the Crossing Routes Podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. I am still Herms, he is still Tyler Rowe, and we are still talking about the tight end position in the dynasty landscape. Some very exciting young players just absolutely transformed the position from last year's rookie class. And, you know, like we were saying before the break, the next guy we have to talk about is one of those dudes, Harold Fannin Jr. with the Cleveland Browns. Before I hand it over to you, it's never a bad time to own those L's. I have owned it so many times at this point, but when it came to the early parts of the draft cycle last year, I really liked Harold Fannin Jr. as an athlete. He was a fun guy to see down at the Senior Bowl, but my whole thing was like, I don't know, he's kind of a tweener. I don't know if he's ever going to be able to do it. He'd have to land in like a really specific role, and then lo and behold, he absolutely did. He performed like a baller in what was a pretty weird offensive situation, and he proved me wrong. So shout out Harold Fannin Jr., a tremendously talented young player. I'm sure you have tons to get into when it comes to him. What are some of your thoughts about him as we look forward, especially with the distinct possibility that David Njoku is no longer going to be in Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Njoku is much of a factor all season long, if I'm being completely honest with you. Like, I'm not looking at Njoku's, like, box score from last season and like, wow, like, this is a dude who absolutely just lit up the league and, you know, he absolutely killed. The first, he played, like, 12 games, okay? So he missed some time. That definitely, like, opened things up for him. You know, earlier in the season, obviously, he was more of a factor. He had, I would say, weeks 1 through 7, weeks 1 through 8.
Yeah,
but after that, it was the Fannin show. He was completely phased out, and then he didn't even play. So I don't think it's going to affect things all too much. It should open a little bit more up for Fannin. I mean, shoot, like Fannin still put together 107 targets while Njoku was killing it for the first half of the season. So there's a little more meat on the bone there. 72 receptions, 730 yards, and 6 touchdowns. I mean, it's a great season. I mean, I think a lot of this was propped up too. I believe like Dylan Gabriel just pretty much only and exclusively threw the ball to Harold Fannin the entire time. He's great. Like I mentioned, like, I had him at 6, so just moved him to 7. Like, you made a great Laporta point. He was a guy who I thought was easily the tight end 3 in this class, which still holds to be true. But I didn't think we were going to get 3 tight ends who were in my top 7, which is absolutely bonkers. Now, he to me, I was like, you know, it might take him a little bit to come along. You know, he's definitely like a wide receiver. He's not a tight end. He's definitely a wide receiver the way he plays and the way he profiles. And didn't really matter because the Browns used him as just a pass catcher, and he absolutely crushed it. I was a little concerned about him and the learning curve coming from the Maction into the NFL, like definitely a tier down. None of that mattered. He was just that good. I mean, the tape was incredible at Bowling Green, but like the level of competition he was playing was pretty suspect, but it didn't matter, man. He is going to be a focal point of this offense.
I don't think the quarterback situation is going to be as bad. No, I don't know what's going to happen with the Browns, but at least the rookies will have another season to figure it out. Maybe it's Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, not going to get into it, but like I think objectively, he probably is a little bit of an upgrade to what we saw from Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. So I don't see them adding any like massive pieces in terms of pass catchers, just considering how they run that offense. So we'll see how things work themselves out. We could see a new offense too. I'm sitting here talking football and I'm like, damn, they got new. They might have a new offense going on. But anyways, Fant's so good that they're going to make him a focal point. So I think he deserves to be there. Great season out of a guy. Came on early, took half a season for him to break out. I think he's certainly a tight end that you can build around. He's one of the last ones in the ranks that I think you can build around.
Certainly so. And I think it's going to be really fun to watch this Cleveland team with Todd Monken in charge. I think if you're going to lose a head coach like Kevin Stefanski, a guy that is so good at scheming offense, replacing him with a guy who is also very good at doing that is pretty solid. And also one of the things that we really like about Monken is just the way he's able to utilize some tight ends. You know, he got interesting things out of the duo of Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. But then I also want to remind folks that before he, you know, came back into the NFL, Todd Monken was there at the University of Georgia, won a couple of those national championships with Brock Bowers as one of the focal point weapons in his offense. So the fact that it's going to be a new coach that is used to working with these sort of dynamic playmaker tight ends, I think it's going to be a really fun fit. I'm definitely very excited about him. I have him as my tight end 8, not because I'm not excited about him or anything, but you know, just because there are some other names that I enjoy more, including a veteran that we are going to talk about in a minute. But keep trade cut. They're higher than both of us. They currently have Harold Fannin as the tight end 5, the equivalent trade value of close to a mid 2027 first round
pick. They got him over Kraft?
Yeah. It's.
I'm not doing that, man. Kraft was an animal, dude. That's too far for me, man. That's too far.
No, so for context, Harold Fannin at tight end 5, Tucker Kraft at tight end 6, then it gets to Sam Laporta at 7 for keep trade cut, and then it gets into the player that we're going to talk about next. So I'll save that a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. It is a little bit frustrating. I think, you know, kind of like we were saying last time, I really think it just is the whole. It's the new shiny toy thing. We just get really excited about these young players, and it makes sense, you know, and especially.
It's fun.
I don't know. There's definitely defenses for it. We've already kind of talked about it a little bit, so we don't need to go too far down that rabbit hole. But before we get into our next player, were there any final notes you wanted to say on Fannin, or are we good to keep going?
We're good to keep going. I do caution myself because like I'm sitting here and thinking about the whole situation. Like we have Fannin ranked really high, but like it's one thing to have him in your dynasty ranks, and like I'll be upfront. Like my dynasty ranks aren't tested. What do I mean by that? Well, I haven't done any startups yet. And I think that's when you actually test your ranks, that's when you're like, geez, like, would I take Fannin over Laporta? Like, no, I don't think I would. Like, or like, where do you take Fannin? Even if he's your tight end 7, like, where do you take him? Like, would you take him over, like, you know, player X? Like, I can't have a good example right now. But, you know, in those kind of set of ranks, like, the dynasty ranks are early. They're untested. He's definitely a player that I have ranked fairly high. But, like, when rubber meets the road and I'm ready to click on a tight end, like, well, I click him. We'll have to see how that goes down, man. So let's roll to the, I think, one of the final players, final two probably, that we have to talk about here today.
Yeah, let's test this against that player who I held back the identity of for suspense purposes. That would be Kyle Pitts of the Atlanta Falcons. Finally, you know, returned back to that mega performer form, especially toward the end of the year when, you know, Drake London started missing time and we got back to Kirk Cousins under center. The dude just took off. It was absolutely remarkable. If you had him in the fantasy playoffs, you definitely did pretty well, especially I want to say it was that 3-touchdown game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was an automatic win for anybody who was starting Kyle Pitts. But obviously, you know, the discussion doesn't stop there. It's a little bit tricky when it comes to Pitts. I like the fact that Atlanta is going to have Kevin Stefanski. We just got done talking about him. He was the head coach in Cleveland. I think it's going to be a fun revamped offense down there, but we don't know if he's going to come back to Atlanta. Kyle Pitts is set to be a free agent. Thankfully, you know, he's only 25 years old. He came into the league pretty young as it is, if I remember correctly. So, you know, he still has all the time in the world ahead of him, but the fact that we just don't know where he's going to play, I think makes it really hard for people to value him. So I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, kind of give my little rankings 2 cents as far as how I view him compared to some of these names that we've been talking about. I have Pitts at 7, just ahead of where I have Harold Fannin at tight end 8. Keep Trade Cut also has Kyle Pitts at tight end 8, the equivalent trade value of close to a late 2026 first or a late 2028 first. I think that's a little up and down. Either way, I would kind of sandwich Pitts in between some of these rookies, but still ahead of Fannin. But that's my little rant. Pitts was one of the guys that you wanted to talk about, so the floor is yours. How are you feeling about him as we look into the future?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned, I guess. He's my tight end 8, so it sounds like I'm right there. But I mean, he had 2 full seasons, 2023, 2024. He didn't miss a single game, and he was tight end 13 and tight end 15, right? He finishes a tight end 2 or 3, depending, you know, what you count here. And, you know, he's averaging, you know, I think it was just around 9.9, 10 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like the tight end 7 was 9.1. So it's like the margins here are razor thin. I mean, it was basically Trey McBride and then a huge group of people. So like, we're like, you know, a couple catches and a touchdown away from being touched, you know, tight end 7, tight end 6. So a lot of people are going to be hammering this. Oh, he finishes a tight end 2, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, he did. We got to look at the context of the rest of the players around him. Like, it was a big gap. Could have easily finished tight end 6 or 7. He had a really good year. You love to see it. Obviously, his rookie year in 2021 and then obviously this last season are the big ones. That's where he saw 110, 118 targets. But the 2 years prior, full season, 74, 90 targets. London missed some time. You know, for me, it's just I'm not chasing what we saw out of Pitts again. I think he's a fine tight end. I think he's a kind of like, you know, lower tier tight end 1. I love that he's only 25. I love that he is just plays wide receiver, but there's been a lot of flags with Pitts. Prior to this year, he wasn't very highly valued. He was kind of seen as a bust. It was good to see him put something together, but I'm not going to probably chase it with Kyle Pitts. He's definitely a player that, you know, we talk about this tier break. I do not trust Kyle Pitts as my tight end in season. I would want somebody to back him up to feel good about that. Like all the players we've talked about so far, I feel good about as my 10 and one of my team. Pitts is kind of that first tier where I'm feeling a little bit concerned.
Does that change for you at all, hypothetically, if he returns to Atlanta and we just know that he's going to be in the environment he's familiar with, or no?
No, it doesn't, because in that same environment, he was tight end, 13, 14, 15 for 2 years in a row right before that. So no, it wouldn't change that. I've had concerns about him being I think he's an incredible athlete. There's been concerns on tape about how good of a football player he is. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Clearly deserves to be in the conversation of top 12 tight ends, but I'm not sure I'm there for a repeat. So someone else can grab him.
Oh, fair enough. I think that definitely makes sense. And we'll do a veteran quick hitter here. George Kittle, obviously, we know that he's tremendous. He's one of the best tight ends in football. If you want to make the argument for who's the best all-around real-life tight end in football, it would be probably George Kittle for a lot of people. But he tore his Achilles in the wild card round against the Philadelphia Eagles. He turns 33 in October. I think it is kind of fair to wonder if he still belongs in the top 12 conversation, but I will just quickly answer it for me before handing it over to you. I think that answer is yes. I still have him as like tight end 11, but it is going to be a bit of a tough pill to swallow knowing that he might not play at all next year. Are you still valuing him highly? Do we still like George Kittle despite the fact that he's hurt and aging? Does any of that matter to you? Kind of how are you feeling about that?
I mean, him being hurt and aging does matter to me. I'm at tight end 13. But, like, dude, it's just one of those things where I respect him so much, and I love the guy. He's done so much for me in fantasy, but it's like, in a startup, do I click his name? like if you're building, you know, if you're building a contender, he's a tough name to click. He's probably not going to play most of the season. And the same thing, if you're kind of doing a rebuild or a younger team, he's a tough click. Like, he's definitely one of those guys where I'm going to be like, okay, like George Kittle or Gadsden or George Kittle and Brenton Strange or George Kittle and Theo Johnson. Like, these are names that I'm going to have to think about. Because yeah, he definitely has in him for a spike performance, but that's 34-year-old Kittle. Just something to think about, man. He's definitely going to be an interesting one to follow, but right now he sits at tight end 13.
I think that's fair. The keep trade cut market currently has him as the tight end 10, roughly around an early second in either 2026 or 2027. So I guess people are still enthusiastic about it, but maybe once we get closer and the reality of him not playing hits people, we'll probably see that fall a little bit. I think that will catch up over the course of time. But definitely something to think about. Hopefully the recovery goes well for him and we get him back onto the field as soon as possible. We'll try and knock this one out before we get out of here. Just real quickly, once we get past this point of these tight ends, it's kind of a crapshoot. Picking guys that we think are going to be good becomes very difficult. But the one name that I do want to highlight that I am still enthusiastic about is Brenton Strange with the Jacksonville Jaguars, chiefly because, I mean, what kind of episode of Crossing Rust would this be if I didn't find a way to shoehorn in Brenton Strange? But then also the ongoing conversations around the fact that Travis Hunter might be really making that transition to being a cornerback first and maybe not so much at wide receiver, starting as soon as next year. So I think that's probably where a lot of that conversation stems around, because we could talk about Brenton Strange and how some of his stats bore out a little bit. I mean, I did do a little bit of studying. I pulled some numbers about like his snap share and his route share in the games that he was healthy and where that kind of would have ranked among tight ends. It kind of puts him roughly in like the Dallas Goedert type range of usage. But the point being, like, if Travis Hunter is taken out of this equation, put on defense, and we are basically left with, I guess, Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver one, and Jacoby Myers, depends on how much you kind of like Parker Washington, I guess. But either way, like, that's a major weapon being taken out of rotation potentially that could make Brenton Strange a pretty interesting guy as a low end tight end one. How do you kind of feel about him and how the whole Travis Hunter part of it potentially impacts the offensive ecosystem there?
Yeah, to start on Brenton Strange, I got him at tight end 16. I like what I've seen out of him so far. Couple duds, but I do think he's talented. I do think he's locked in as a starter there. He's definitely a guy that I'm not comfortable as my tight end one, but if I'm like platooning, definitely like having him on my squad. So I'm here for the Brenton Strange conversation as like a solid tight end too. In terms of the Travis Hunter thing, man, I didn't draft him anywhere. If I can get out, I would. If I can get a first for him right now, I would take a 2027 first. I'd take a 2026 first. You know, I saw somewhere on Twitter, like, someone sold him for like a third. Like, yeah, I'd be buying Travis Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking third. probably second as well. Somebody's like, hey, can I get your second for Travis Hunter? Yeah, I'll bet on the talent. But
sure,
he's definitely a guy I was a little concerned on. I didn't know what to make of this split between what he's playing. I do think Parker Washington's legit. Obviously, they like Myers. We'll see what happens with Brian Thomas. They might need him more on the defensive side of the ball. So, like, I am firmly not a Travis Hunter buyer. I'm not someone who's going to be counting on him on my fantasy teams to play wide receiver. You know, I hope he does well. He's an interesting case. He's a great football player, but for fantasy, I'm very much out on the Travis Hunter going forward.
I think that makes sense. And, you know, it looks to me like the keep trade cut market is kind of excited about what this could possibly mean for Brenton Strange. And this is where it gets a little bit frustrating for me. They have him as the tight end 13. A little bit higher than where I have him, but the equivalent pick value in trading 27 second round pick, like, it's not the most expensive thing in the world, but we think about the types of names that we could be getting in those parts of rookie drafts, especially, you know, some of these running backs that could make, you know, some interesting impacts for us. a lot of receivers, you know, will fall to that range that end up making a difference. You know, typically some of those like smaller guys, the like the slot only players that people get scared off of, even though they really shouldn't be, that would be kind of what you're paying for to acquire Strange if you don't have him already. That's where I get a little bit hung up and think that maybe I do need to move him down, and maybe I'm a little bit, I don't know. How do you feel about that cost? Is that appealing to you at all, or is that too rich?
Feels about right, Herms. I mean, nothing about that cost kind of brought anything up inside of me where I'm like, ooh, too much, too little. It's like, it's fine. You know, I don't have a strong opinion on that one. And remember, folks, it's okay sometimes not to have a strong opinion.
Hey, you know, sometimes that is the name of the game. The other part of it is just being able to have your opinions change, or be able to engage in a dialogue, or be able to have a podcast where you can talk about these things with another person and release it to all of the listening public like we do here at Crossing Routes. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you've been keeping up with us this offseason, we have tons of more fun things to do. We will also be doing an AMA over on Reddit pretty soon. We will talk about that a little bit more in our next episode. I've posted about it on socials before, so please follow each of us, keep up with what we're doing, and stay tuned for all of the awesome stuff we do over at ftnfantasy.com. Check out all the content, check out all the other episodes that we've done on these other positions. If you haven't listened to them and you just want to go back, a lot of that is still good to listen to. And that is the end of the show. Adios, everybody. We will catch you again soon. Think about it before we go, just to say goodbye. And staying up and sleeping late.